From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan or on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, October 27th, 2023. It's Halloween weekend. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunathchi Shawa Salamat, for joining the conversation. On today's show, two fun and spooky events from Juno Ghostlight Theater, a re-airing of the radio play Dracula, and a live script reading of Scream. Exciting and spooky events from the JDHS Yada'a Katle, as the Ignite Club has a meet and greet with Creepy Crawlies, and the cross-country team hosts a zombie run. We'll chat with CBJ Parks and Rec and get updates on the pool happenings around town, and we'll have a couple announcements on some other happenings this weekend, plus a sneak peek at the newest episode of the Maga Quinto podcast from KTOO News. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin katka ke jin talk on a haya on a kuch gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. That's Van Shee with a cover of Don't Fear the Reaper. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Halloween is next Tuesday, and upcoming this weekend and early next week are events that will trick or treat you. One group, Juno Ghostlight Theater, has two events happening. First up, this Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on KTOO and KAUK, will be a rebroadcast of their radio play version of Dracula. And next week, a live script reading of Scream that they are producing in conjunction with the Gold Town Nickelodeon. Here to chat about both of these events are Kate Ross and Hedy Laverne. Boo!
Oh, you got me.
How's it going, y'all?
Good.
Thanks for having us on.
Of course. Absolutely. So, Dracula, it is a recording that you all had done a few years ago. Mm-hmm. When was it first done?
It was 2 years ago, actually. Okay. Yeah. And so we were still in maybe not the height of the pandemic, but still pretty up there in terms of safety of live performances and everything. So we recorded it right here in this studio, putting our masks on and off, and then mixed it all together and produced this really incredible hour of live radio theater. Well, live recorded. And now we get to rebroadcast it.
Yeah. So, yeah, because the first one was, was that the first time that Juno Ghostlight had done something like that, Hedy, where it was like a recorded show?
Yeah, we did a smaller version of it before Dracula. We did a Sherlock Holmes mystery, and that was about a half hour of radio mm-hmm. time. And then we went a little bigger. We did all original Foley for the Dracula, and we recorded it together in the studio for that. So, it's kind of it is our first big venture.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, I remember Sherlock Holmes, too. I think we've replayed that at once or twice mm-hmm. as well. And what is the approach that you take sort of to doing something on the radio as opposed to doing it in a theater?
Yeah, so you're really thinking about things in a different way in terms of painting that scenery, right? When you're at a show, you're able to see the set and you're able to see the actors moving around and who they're talking to and people entering and exiting. And you have to convey that just with sound on the radio. So it presents a really unique challenge that is so, so fun to end up doing with Foley, with the sound effects that we make. And so we used no canned sound effects. We made everything ourselves in our basements and garages and driveways.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that the exciting part? Was that the most exciting thing about doing it, was trying to figure out how do we get these sounds across on the air?
That was, for me, probably the most exciting part because I did some of the Foley for it. So that was super fun.
There's a scene where there's some wolves that are chasing them. Mm-hmm. And I literally played with my dog, Davey, and he was growling. And I was like, oh, and I grabbed my phone and I recorded it for them and I sent it over. I'm like, can you use this?
We're like, it's perfect.
We're just trying to find stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so fun. And then what were some of the challenges of doing that as opposed to doing like a live theater?
Yeah, well, on the flip side with sound and not being able to see it, right, you do have those challenges with who's in a scene or who's not in a scene. And some of that came with the narration. So the way Dracula is written, there is the narrator in Jonathan Harker. So some of that is through narration for sure. But a lot of it is with the Foley, even in just in the background. It's kind of showing, okay, you're outside or you're on a ship right now.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely can be a challenge to let people imagine where a certain scene might be taking place just with that sound alone and with the way that the actors are, you know, interacting with each other as well.
I know it was a couple years ago, but do you recall like what the most interesting sound that you made was made from something that wasn't actually the thing it was to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I will never forget. I had to buy multiple watermelons in case we messed the first one up. And we literally had a watermelon on a plastic tarp and used a hammer or a mallet, rather. And
went all Gallagher on it.
Yeah. and a piece of wood and staked the watermelon to make the sound of staking the vampire in the heart.
Spoilers.
I know. Yeah. Listen, at this point, if you haven't heard
know what
talk,
happens to vampires.
I'm just kidding. And can you remind us who some of the folks who are in it? I know that Hedy was played Dracula, right?
I did, mm-hmm. Yes. And we had Ty Yamaoka in it. We had Nomi Saxton. We had Felix T.A., Kristen Rankin.
Elizabeth Peisel Davis.
Yeah, it was directed by Roblin Davis. Mm-hmm. Anybody else in it? Or was that all of us?
I think that was the whole crew. Oh, God, if we're forgetting someone.
I would feel terrible to forget. But
we don't want to forget people.
No, but then
I think that was it.
Yeah, we had Kelsey Riker did a lot of the Foley. They were our main Foley artist, along with some supporting other people.
Cool.
And then Paige Sparks did all original piano music for it. And of course, Rasham did our mixing and sound editing.
So. Yeah, I know there's a song that opens it you'll hear on Sunday. We're going to play a clip of it here in a second, but we didn't, when it's not that part, we're going to play just a little bit, which has some Foley in it, which I think will be cool. So I know that you also had done Case of the Curious Client earlier this year, mm-hmm. for the KTO Radio Play Festival that was, mm-hmm. done in conjunction with Theater Alaska and Ghostlight Theater. And that was great. Do you have the idea to do more radio plays in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We've been having a lot of fun with it for the next few years and we want to keep it up as long as we're having fun. So we have one scheduled. We are not ready to release the title yet, mm-hmm. but on Friday, February 9th at 7 p.m., it's going to be live in studio here at KTOO and broadcast. So put it on your calendars now.
It's February 9th.
February 9th. Friday.
Awesome. And I'm sure, mm-hmm. that we'll put promotion on KTOO.org about that, as well as on mm-hmm. the Ghostlight Theater website, which is
JunoGhostlightTheater.com. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Is it .com or .org? I don't know.
It is .com.
Okay, good. So JunoGhostlightTheater.com, where you can find out all about other things that are coming up with Juno Ghostlight Theater and all of that good stuff. And for the radio plays from earlier this year, you can go to KTO.org and search Radio Theater Festival or go to radio-theater-festival-2023. So let's play a little bit of this clip from Dracula. It's just about a minute and a half or so, just to give us a sense and a feel of what this thing sounds like. Here's Dracula from Juno Ghostlight Theater.
I, Jonathan Harker, lawyer's clerk, articles to Peter Hawkins, Esquire of Exeter, England, am writing this journal in the hope that if misfortune overtakes me, it may one day come to the eyes of those who love me. I set out from London on the last day of April to visit one of our clients in Eastern Europe. On May the 3rd, I arrived in Budapest and came after nightfall to Klausenburg on the border of Transylvania. At Bistritz, there was a letter of welcome for me from our client informing me that his carriage would await me at the Borgo Pass. It was signed, Dracula.
Bukovina? Coach for Bukovina?
The road was rough, but still, we seemed to fly over it with feverish haste. When it grew dark, there seemed to be some excitement among the passengers. They kept speaking to the driver, and looking at me, and urging him on with the greater speed. The crazy coach rocks from its great leather springs. The mountains seemed to come nearer to us on either side. Coachman! Coachman, what is it? Where are we?
You are nearing your destination, young heir. This is De Borgo Pass.
There are black rolling.
So that's just a little bit of Dracula from Juno Ghostlight Theater. You will hear the whole production this Sunday, October 29th, here on KTOO and KAUK at 7 p.m. Mark your calendars. Okay, so then you all have something else fun that is happening next Tuesday and Wednesday at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. What in the world is going on?
Well, you get Colette involved and you just kind of let her go. And she has this incredible vision and we're just kind of supporting it. But we are doing a Scream live script read of the 1996 Scream. We have a cast of local actors. It's essentially a table read, but Colette is taking it to the next level. There's going to be some surprises, some props, potentially some flying things in the audience, some jump scares, all of
with
those
Costa,
things.
With Costa, you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be the whole movie, a table read start to finish, and you're going to see clips from the movie played behind the actors, and it's going to be a blast.
And who are some of the folks that will be doing that?
Well, I'm going to be involved. Colette is also involved. We have Donnie Gott. We have Jeff Hedges. We have Boston Christopher. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Playing some interesting roles, which we won't give away.
Exactly.
But it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great group of people. Haley Duran and
Levi Feeler.
Yep. And Kate O'Mealy. All kinds of great local talent.
That's cool. And those are going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think it starts at 7 o'clock, right?
Colette is marketing it as starting at 7:06 because in her mind, that is 666 in hours forms. So...
Okay. If Costa says it, it must be true.
7:06.
So what's exciting about these live script reads? What do you love about them?
Oh, man. Well, we've done them for a while. And the thing that I love the most is you can be a total fan of the movie and come and see your favorite movie almost reimagined. You might see moments of it that are reminiscent of the original. But because local actors are also doing their own interpretation, sometimes you might discover something new that you didn't know the character was meaning behind it or things like that. But then also there are people that I know who have come to these and have never experienced the movie before. So they're experiencing it for the first time through local actors, which is kind of a unique way to do it.
Well, we had somebody at the rehearsal the other night who had never seen the film.
Yes.
And it was so fun to watch them react to the ending of the movie.
Exactly.
So if you've never seen it, just show up and have a good time.
Exactly.
Now, what's interesting about this one is you're trying something new because the movie won't actually be playing on reels in the background. You're actually going to do it as a slideshow.
Yes.
Screen
stills.
Captures.
Yes, yeah. Screen captures of the movie. And the reason that we're doing that with this particular movie is there are so many moments in this film that are surprises and jump scares that because of the way that the table read works, sometimes we get a little ahead of the movie, sometimes we get a little behind. So this will keep the audience still guessing as opposed to them seeing that so-and-so got murdered and then we get murdered on like 2 minutes
right,
later.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, that would kind of ruin the surprise a little
right.
bit. So you can come up with, that involves even maybe some more interesting ways of, you know, getting it all timed out and all the tech to it. So some surprises in store for the Scream live live script read, which will be happening next Tuesday and Wednesday at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Start time is apparently 7:06. And I think you can get tickets at goldtownnick.com/events, or just go to goldtownnick.com and you'll see a poster for a scream, and it'll say live read on it, and you can get a ticket for that. And you'll still be able to go trick-or-treating because the reading will be a lot. I think it's like 90 minutes or something. I can't remember exactly how long it is, but so that's kind of cool. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then for everything going on with Ghostlight Theater, junoghostlighttheater.com. Don't forget that Dracula will be airing here on KTOO and KAUK this Sunday, October 29th at 7 p.m. Kate and Hetty Gunathjish for coming in and being here and telling us all about and getting us started for our spooky weekends.
Ooh, happy spooky season.
I love it. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Boston.
Up next, JDHS Yada'a Kathle groups have some fun Halloween events coming up. First, we'll chat with the Ignite Club about their creepy crawly event that is happening. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glen A.D. have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life. For today, and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Halloween Eve, creepy crawly meet and greet. JDHS Yada'a Kathle Ignite students will be presenting spooky live animals for families to meet and interact with. And here from the Ignite Club is Quinn Branch. Gunathjish, for being here. Quinn, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
I mean, it's Friday, right?
It's Friday, getting out of school.
No school, you're getting out, yeah, yes. Right?
Gonna get out a little bit early today.
Yeah, nice. You got to come on the radio and tell us all about this thing. What are you gonna be for Halloween? Have you decided yet?
I am not actually sure. I have a good friend, Joanna, who I think we are just gonna hang out and bake some pies.
Oh, nice. Pumpkin pie or just other pies?
I'm not sure. Probably not sure? Just some pumpkin pies.
Though. Nice. Pumpkin pies, a little whipped cream on it. Yum, yum. A little chocolate sauce maybe. I don't know. That sounds pretty good. So you're part of the Ignite Club. And they've been on the show before. But remind us about like what the Ignite Club is and what y'all do.
So the Ignite Club, or as us students like to call it, Farm Club. We do a multitude of things. We have a ton of animals at Farm Club. Is a good way that we can interact with like other things in the world, and that we learn about like agriculture and taking care of these animals and just a lot about how they work and all of that.
I see. Okay. And I had discovered that there is sort of like a underneath the high school, there's like you all have animals just hanging out down there.
Yes, we do. That is actually one of our hands-on projects. We have chickens. I don't know if we still have ducks, but we have a turkey named Brenda.
I think last time they were on the show, a couple of students brought one of the chickens in, which was really cute.
Oh, they probably did.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that particular chicken, but it was adorable. Well, that's cool. Do you love being in that club? What do you feel like you're getting out of doing that?
I really do love the club. It is always a fun activity. Even if like you're just talking and sitting around, it's always a ton of laughs. I think my favorite part of it is the real world experience I'm getting. I am learning a lot about stuff I probably wouldn't know if I wasn't in the club. And it's like actually opened up so far a lot of pretty cool opportunities for me just to see how everything works.
That's cool. And it just came to me. Cupcake was the name of the chicken. Is Cupcake still with us?
I believe she is. I'm not sure exactly which classroom she's in.
Okay.
But I think she's still with
us. Cupcake was, I remember we took pictures of Cupcake and that was really fun. But it's really great that you're getting so much out of it, that it becomes something that, you know, becomes valuable to you. And it's not just, you know, hey, a good excuse to get out of school and, you know, go play with some animals, but you're actually learning stuff and maybe going to apply that. Do you have an idea yet of what you want to do when you leave high school?
Me personally, I think I want to do something in the trades. I might try to be either a welder or an auto mechanic.
Awesome.
I would love to live on a ranch and have some animals. My grandpa owns a farm.
Oh, nice.
So I think I would love to live there and take care of animals.
That would be so cool. We need more of that. We need more of that. So that's cool, Quinn. I really like that. Okay, so this Halloween event that is coming up, Creepy Crawly Meet and Greet. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So it is on October 30th, which is a Monday, from 5 to 7. It's for all ages. Free of charge, but we would really appreciate some donations. We're doing this. It's just a fun thing for us students to do. We're showing off some of the animals we were working with, showing off all of the hard work we've dedicated to this club. The creepy crawlies that will be there are tarantulas, hissing cockroaches, beetles, newts, some night crawlers, snakes, lizards, toads, axolotls, and some special guests.
Special guests. So, okay, hold on a second. What is a hissing cockroach?
Well, they're just basic cockroaches, but they make this hissing sound when you pick them up really fast.
Is it scary?
I haven't encountered one, but I would assume so. Like most people, I'm kind of icked out by cockroaches.
Most people are, yeah. Yeah. I lived in New York City. I'm definitely creeped out by them.
But not our teacher, Mr. Anderson.
He loves them. And what's a night crawler?
I'm not actually sure, to be super honest, but yeah, I'm not too sure.
Wait a second. Now, are all of these creepy crawlies, are they at the school now, or are people bringing in their ones that they own, kind of thing?
They're kind of spread apart. It's like the tarantulas, they're being brought into the school, but they belong to some of like the guests.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And there's a python or a couple pythons going to be there that kids have a chance to get pictures with around their neck.
What? Yeah. Oh, man. That is so cool. So, and it's on Monday and it is happening after school, right?
Yes.
So it's at 5 o'clock.
And it's also at the JDHS building itself.
Okay.
There will be students to usher in guests. So we'll have people there.
That is so cool. And again, you said it is a fundraiser. You can come and bring, you know, the kids can come and do it for no charge. But it would be appreciated if maybe somebody threw a little something in the bucket.
Yeah.
Right? Because it goes towards the club, right? It goes towards all the activities that y'all do.
Yes, it does go toward the club. I'm not sure if we're doing it this year, but we might be. We wanted to go, I think it was down to Washington for like this animal fair. We bring some animals down. We just have a fun time.
Awesome. You know? That's so cool. Well, Quinn, I can't thank you enough for coming in and telling us a little bit about Halloween Eve Creepy Crawly Meet and Greet. It's a little, It's a little scary for me. But I think what would be cool is if people want to bring their kids and stuff to check it out. It's a controlled environment, right? So like parents can bring the young ones maybe to be so they're not so scared to see like the creatures, maybe like a tarantula just looks scary. Right. But I know that people like let them crawl on their hands and stuff all the time because they're not that scary. They just look scary to sort of fend off predators. Right. So so it's a good opportunity for people to come down and sort of maybe be not so scared. Right.
Yes. Although I do have to say not all of the animals people will be able to touch.
OK.
Just because
some of them are a little, they might bite you or something like that. Yeah, but to look at and maybe learn the difference between what's safe and what's not safe. Right.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I think that's great.
If you costumed for little kids or even parents or whoever, they're totally encouraged and we'd love to see some.
Oh, a little costume action. All right. Everybody get ready for the next day, the big Halloween. As it says, it's Halloween's Eve, right? Halloween yes. Eve. So cool. Is there anything else that we missed that you need to say?
I think that is it. But yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. I do want to give your website, jdhsignite.weebly.com, where you can find out all about the JDHS Yada'a Kathle Ignite Club, or as they like to call it, Farm Club. Quinn Gunnethjish, for being here. Thank you so much.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the solar system. Our sun and the eight planets are all visualized as spheres. However, they're not perfect spheres. They all bulge at the equator, and that shape is called an oblate spheroid. So, for example, if you take the Earth, the distance you would have to travel to go from the North Pole to the South Pole and back again would be less than the distance you'd have to traverse to cover the equator. And that difference is around 1/3 to 1%. Now, this bulging is caused by the rotation of the Earth, and the Earth is a rigid body. So gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn, whose outer surface is composed of gas, when they rotate, they bulge much more so. Also, Jupiter and Saturn has much shorter days. Their days are about less than half of an Earth day. So Jupiter and Saturn bulge at the equator almost 10%. So the shape of the planet is due to the gravity, which tends to make it into a sphere, and rotation, which tends to flatten it out. So the equilibrium between the two, gravity and rotation, is what determines the amount of bulging at the equator. So the object in our solar system that is the most perfect sphere is the sun. The sun has enormous mass, so it has a lot of gravity, and also it rotates quite slowly. Its day is 30 Earth days. So the sun is the closest to a perfect sphere in our solar system. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. The schedule for our shows is on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon, and that was Star Party from Steve Kosas at the Marie Drake Planetarium. A couple of announcements in this little segment here. We have the Family Halloween at the Planetarium. They have weekend shows. They have four shows this weekend, Saturday, October 28th at 3 o'clock and 4:30, and Sunday, October 29th at 2 and 3:30. Ages from 6 to 60 will enjoy an immersive full-dome mix of Halloween spooks and amazing amazing space imagery. Bring your family and friends to enjoy views on the 30-foot dome. It is no charge, but donations are welcome to support busing school classes to the planetarium. Also, happening today at 5 o'clock over at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall is the Kuhanti Book Launch. It is a storytime event to launch a new children's book, Kuhanti. The book is written all in Tlingit and follows the journey and life lessons of a young girl. All are encouraged to bring and wear their regalia at this event. If you can't make it to the event, you can watch online via Zoom, it's tinyurl.com/Kuhanti Book Event, K-U-H-A-A-N-T-I Book Event. And tribal citizens who have children between the ages of 0 to 7 can sign up online to receive a free copy of the book at the event or by postal mail. And you can sign up for that at tinyurl.com/Kuhanti Free Book. K-U-H-A-A-N-T-I Free Book. There's activity stations, meals and goodies, book giveaways, and story time. It's sponsored by Tlingit and Haida, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and a Cedar Group. Again, it's from 5 to 7 o'clock tonight at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. And episode 4 of the Maga Cuento podcast from KTOO dropped today. Here is a quick preview.
That's my son, Jim. That's when he just started.
Well,
just about, yeah.
Yeah. And now he's retired.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In a living room in Douglas, a tape plays on a TV. Faces from years gone by crowd the screen. Marcelo Quinto, in his early 80s, points out family members as the camera zooms in on individuals, dancing or holding plates of food on the way back to long tables.
Hey, we got some absolutely wonderful cooks. I'll tell you that, I say it.
The video is 23 years old, from one of the mestizo gatherings that used to be held regularly. A reunion for the families who grew up Filipino and Alaska Native. The word mestizo means mixed in Spanish. In Alaska, it refers to someone who is both Alaska Native and Filipino, a nation that was colonized by Spain. Marcelo is one of the first generations of mestizos in Juneau, and he's seen the community be born and find its place in town. This is Maga Cuento, a podcast about the diverse stories of Juneau's Filipino community. I'm your host, Tasha Elizarde, and the episode that you're about to hear is about a community with historic roots in Juneau, roots that are thousands of years old. The relationships between these two communities have nurtured generations of Tlingit and Filipino individuals who sometimes call themselves mestizos. Now, a note. The word mestizo is not used by all who share these identities, but those we spoke to for this episode use it for themselves, so we chose to as well. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry brings us their stories.
That is a little taste of episode 4 of Maga Cuento, which is a project from KTOO News exploring the history and current life of Filipinos in Juneau. It's available on your podcast app of choice with 4 episodes out now and the final episode releasing next Friday. Also, there is an ongoing exhibit at the Juneau Douglas City Museum entitled Maga Cuento, Filipinos in Juneau. For more on the podcast, visit ktoo.org. And for the museum exhibit, visit juneau.org/museum. Up next, we'll chat with the JDHS Yada'a Kathle cross-country team about the zombie run. This is KTOO, and this is Juneau Afternoon.
If you're seeing things running through your head, who can you call? Invisible man sleeping in your bed. Oh, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
guess. I ain't afraid of no goose.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juno Douglas, Yada'a Kathle cross-country running team has brought back the zombie run. It's tomorrow, Saturday, October 28th. Registration starts at 3 p.m. with the run starting at 4 p.m. It's all in partnership with the Juno Trail and Roadrunners, and all proceeds will benefit the cross-country team. We welcome now Abby John and Sienna Farr to tell us a little bit about this awesome, awesome event. Hi, gunaschish for being here.
Gunaschish. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So, Abby, how are you involved in the zombie run?
So I'm one of the co-cross-country coaches.
Okay.
So I coach Sienna and 55 other athletes every fall. And for the zombie run, we're sort of coordinating it, putting it on, and I'll be leading the charge, and Sienna and her teammates will be the zombies.
Oh, Sienna, have you done this zombie run before?
Yes, I did. I did it twice, once when I was in third grade and once when I was in fourth grade, and I was so devastated when it went away, and I am so happy that it's back.
So wait, were you a runner, or were you also playing? Were you being one of the zombies?
No, I was a runner. If you were in high school or middle school, you were a runner. And
I
then
see.
The zombies were high schoolers, and now I get to be a zombie, which
I
is cool.
See. Okay. So, Abby, how long has it been since we've had the zombie run?
I believe it's been about 8 years, so it's been a while since we've had it here in town.
Oh, so we can't even blame the pandemic. It's just it's been a while.
Well, we're bringing it back.
All right. So tell us this. The concept of this is so fun. Sienna, why don't you tell us how the zombie run works?
Well, you have us as the zombies, and we will be in some like funky, scary zombie-like clothes costumes. And our objective is to grab the runners' tags that they'll have in like their pockets or something. But because we are such expert runners, we can only like kind of limp around. We can't run to make it harder for us to grab the tags. And also, you know, we want a chance of survival. But it's a really fun run that's open to anyone. And it's just a little, you know, way to get out and get some exercise, but also have some Halloween fun.
It's a nice little precursor to the actual holiday, right? I mean, because yeah. when Halloween falls on like a Monday or Tuesday like this, the weekend becomes full of Halloween events. We were just talking to the Ignite Club about their little creepy and crawly event that they're doing at JDHS on Monday. And then here's JDHS doing a zombie run, different club, cross country, right, doing it. And it sounds so great. Like, I love the fact that you all will be sort of, you know, having to not be able to run as fast as you might be able to run to give those of us who may not be able to run so fast a chance, right? And then, and is there like a it's like last person standing kind of thing? Is that what happens? Like, everybody turns into a zombie eventually, right?
So how it works is each participant is going to get three flags, kind of like flag football.
Okay.
And they'll tie it to themselves on their clothing or their costumes, which we encourage people to come dressed in their Halloween costumes if they want to run or walk
fun.
In those. And so the zombies are going to be trying to pull those flags off of people. And if you make it to the finish line with any flags left, you get a prize for being alive.
And
if you don't make it in with any flags, then you're considered dead or a zombie.
But you can still finish the run, I suppose, but you have to probably put on an ailment or something. Or how do you, because you could, when somebody turns into a zombie, do they get to also chase people down? Or is it really just the cross country team that's is doing that?
It's just the cross country team. When you get your flags taken, you finish the run. But I guess free for all is an interesting concept, but it would be a little bit.
Maybe, you know, what's so funny is like everybody, you know, it's like everybody should get a prize, but like the people who survive get like, you know, something cool, and the zombies get like, you know, a marshmallow that makes it look like it's guts or something, and they have to. I don't know. That would just. I'm just thinking of like what it would be like. What happens when you turn in? What do you want when you're a zombie? You want brains, right? Isn't that the thing? Brains. So, what are you all going to be wearing, Sienna? The cross country team.
Well, we'll be wearing some pretty interesting looking, funky like makeup to make our skin look all green.
Ooh.
You know, horrible. And then probably maybe some like muddied, ripped clothes. We've been through a lot, been through some zombie attacks. really weathered looking, I'd say.
I love it.
Not too scary, but, you know, looking a little rough on the edges.
Yeah. What rough for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Right. how long is the race?
So we have two distances tomorrow. We've got a 5K fun run and a 1 mile kids run.
Okay.
And so we encourage anybody to run or walk or jog either distance.
Okay, cool. If you walk, you may not have a chance of surviving.
That's true.
But hopefully the ones who are walking, the zombies may be a little bit nicer on them, especially if they're a little, right? Like they're that'd be really cute. Where is the race happening?
So go ahead, Sienna.
It's happening at Sandy Beach. The course is similar to the home course that the cross country team runs, which is really fun and interesting. If you've ever watched a cross country race and been like, huh, I want to run that. I don't know if anyone has thought that, but if they have, this is your chance. It's at Sandy Beach.
Okay, Sandy Beach. And it's at 3 o'clock is when registration opens, right? And then 4 o'clock is the race start.
Yes.
Yeah. And how long do you think it'll take?
So I think it could be anywhere from 10 minutes for the kids 1 mile fun run or up to 45 minutes or 50 minutes for the 5K.
I see. Okay. And it is something that you all are required to register for, right? Somebody who wants to do this needs to register?
Yes,
that's correct. And that's why they show up at 3. There's no advance registration is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, everybody comes in. And it's $25 for adults, $15 for those who are under 18, and all the proceeds will support the running team, right?
Yep, that's correct.
That's so great. And what do you all raise the money for? Do you get to go to like different things, Sienna, or you do an annual trip? What's it for?
It's for a lot of different things, mainly for traveling. We travel almost every weekend. We have different teams going to different places all over Southeast. We get to go to Anchorage. It's for those sort of things. And we also have a team retreat up in the Yukon. That's really fun. But, of course, like food and travel and gas and everything is expensive. So these fundraisers are how we pay for them.
That's well said. I think that's well said. That's great. It is the Zombie Run from the Juno Douglas Yada'a Kathle Cross Country Running Team. It's back after 8 years, Abby says, which is amazing. This is such a cool event. Like I'm surprised it ever went away because it just seems really cool and seems like a great way to sort of kick off the Halloween weekend, raise a little funds for the club, and do all of that. It's tomorrow, Saturday, October 28th. Registration at 3 p.m. Run starts at 4, and it's at Sandy Beach. Awesome. Well, Abby and Sienna, is there anything I missed? Did we need to say anything else, or is that we cover it all? I think we did it. It's going to get us into the spooky season. Well, Gwyneth Cheese for being here today and telling us all about it. And I don't want to run into Sienna. That's all I know. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Up next, CBJ Pools will give us some updates. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. We'll be right back. That's a little Halloween, the theme. Ooh, that one always just gets me. It always gets me. Anyway, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on community-supported KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, getting ready for this Halloween weekend. And it's interesting, too, because we're going to be talking to the CBJ Parks and Rec. We're going to call it the Pools Edition. Pools can also be scary. But I'm welcoming now to Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Tara Patterson, aquatics manager for CBJ Parks and Rec. She handles all of the pools, everything that goes on with the pools. And Tara has some fun and exciting pool updates for us. Happy Halloween.
Well, thank you. It's funny when you were talking about pools being scary. The condition of the Augustus Brown pool right now is a little creepy if you walk in.
I know it's been under sort of renovation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we closed in April, and we're a little over halfway through with our renovation. Lot going on, and it's exciting because we're actually starting to do things that like make it look better now, where up until now it was things like replacing plumbing and pipes and, you know, maintenance updates, and all really important things, mechanical fixtures, but nothing that really looked good. And this week we're starting to put in the tile in the locker room floors, which is super exciting. Like, it looks good, and got some fresh coat of paint and some things like that going on in the locker room. And it's fun to start seeing things getting put back in place and new things.
That's so cool. 'Cause I know when it was sort of starting to get, taken down. Mm-hmm. That's when they discovered those drawings, right? That had been on the walls behind. Didn't they find that behind some stuff?
Oh, no. Actually, I think you're talking about the tiles in the showers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those, I've only been in Juno for a year, but from what I understand, those tiles have been up since 1999. That's the date on them.
Oh, okay.
But what we ended up doing, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's a really cool project we're working on. So, those tiles had lead paint, so they couldn't really be saved. But what we did with them is we took high resolution photos, and I worked with a local artist to basically get those put onto new ceramic tiles. They're not going back in the locker rooms. What we're doing with them is we're making a mural in the lobby so everybody can see both, you know, not just the boys or the girls' locker room. You can see all of them. And in addition to that, this spring before we closed, we had an art competition for kids. And so we selected 144 drawings from the submitted art that we got this spring. And so we have all of the old tiles, essentially, with a little bit of new life. And then we also have 144 new artwork submissions. And those tiles are all going to be in a mural on display in the lobby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What a great thing to be able to still reclaim those things that were there from, would you say 1999 is when those were?
Yes.
Wow. So over 20 years ago, unfortunately with some bad, some lead in them and things like that. But to be able to save those and combine that with, new drawings as well.
Right.
What's funny is there might even be somebody who did some of those drawings whose parents were some of the original drawings.
Like, that's exactly.
You never know, right? Those connections that might be made there, which is kind of cool. It just shows the importance of like how the pools are, central to community life and
absolutely.
Having them here in a place where you don't think of pools, being a thing, like, that they exist and that they're so cool.
Yeah. The title of the mural will be Generations of Community, because my hope is that, it's multiple generations using the facility and, contributing to this project. So,
that is so cool.
Yeah. We're really excited about it.
Wow. I love that. That is really great. What else is going on?
Well, a couple other things. We essentially are getting brand new locker rooms at Augustus Brown, with the exception of the lockers are going to stay. And then we're also getting the leisure pool or the rec pool resurfaced. So that will look pretty much brand new. Yeah, the lobby is going to be remodeled. We just finished painting the exterior of the building and replacing the exterior stairs and sidewalk. And then we'll be repainting the inside of the building as well. And then the big thing, obviously, that needed to be done was asbestos abatement because the building was 50 years old. So not only was there lead paint, there were other things that had to be dealt with.
That had to be a big project.
It's been a huge project. And the fact that it's going to be closed almost a year, really speaks to how bad some of the systems were that we were just kind of limping along until we got to this update for the building, I should say.
So is the idea that it's going to potentially, hopefully, reopen next spring? Is that the idea?
We're hopeful that we'll have an opening date in February, probably towards the later half of February.
But
that, again, when dealing with construction companies and trying to get things shipped up to Juneau, that date is really a moving target. Initially, it was supposed to be the first of the year, and now we're looking at a little bit later. But but really, I mean, the setbacks have been pretty minimal, and I'm excited that we're still looking at February.
Cool. And in the meantime, everybody can still head out
to Diamond Park.
Yeah, Diamond Park.
I did want to mention while I'm here today that next weekend, Diamond Park is hosting the state swim meet, high school swim and dive meet for the entire state. So we're actually going to be closed next weekend. So anybody looking to swim, it's November 2nd. We close November 2nd at 8 a.m. So we open for a couple hours in the morning and then we close November 2nd and then we're closed through November 5th and reopen on the 6th. So sadly, there won't be any swimming opportunities that weekend. But if people want to come in and watch the swim meet, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome that Juneau's hosting that, right?
Very exciting.
That's a big
exciting.
Deal.
Yes.
It means there's going to be a lot of kids coming down from all over and all
over the
Southeast
state.
And everywhere. And state champs, right?
Yeah. 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 It's not just Southeast Anchorage,
Fairbanks. Fairbanks, all the folks.
Exactly. And it's generally... from what I understand, almost always held in Anchorage. I think Juneau hosted it twice. I want to say in 13 and 16, 2013, 2016. I didn't write that down, so
right.
I might be off a year.
We won't hold you to it.
but other than that, it's almost always held in Anchorage. So
wow, that's great. That's good that that's happening here. But just adjust your swim pool schedules if you're a weekend swimmer and that kind of thing.
If you're a lap swimmer, that also marks the end of high school swim season. So there'll be a lot more lap lane availability after that. Our lap swimmers have really been patient and had to consolidate and squeeze into very minimal lane allotments over the high school swim season. And we really appreciate their patience. But as of November 6th, we'll have a lot more lane availability open. We've had four teams using the pool daily since the beginning of August.
All right.
You an idea of how busy our lap lanes have been.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, so more lanes open as of November 6th out at the Diamond Park. Augustus Brown looks like it might be opening up in February.
That's the plan as of now.
And any last notes before we close out?
Yeah. I would also add, we've had a lot of interest and demand for our swim lesson programs. We started essentially a year-round program this fall. And so we are just wrapping up our first session for the fall. We have another one starting in a few weeks, but then we plan to continue it in January, more swim lessons. And I will also just plug right now that we are still hiring for swim instructors and we do train. And it's something that is so vital for the community and so important to kids to learn how to swim. And our only limitation to offering swim lessons is the number of staff we have to come in and work with kids. And you don't even have to be a real strong swimmer if you love working with kids. We can teach you how to teach beginning levels. We're just, we're really looking for people who enjoy kids and like the water.
That's great. And it's more at juneau.org/parks-recreation/juneau-pools. Or just search Juneau Pools.
JuneauPools.org also works.
JuneauPools.org. Way easier. Well, Tara, thanks so much for coming in. Have a great Halloween and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a safe and spooky Halloween weekend. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Boo! Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a lovely Juno evening.